Hello, everybody. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me here on episode 155 of the Leon LeGrave podcast. If you're brand new to the Leon LeGrave podcast, thank you so much for coming in and sticking around to taking the time to listen to this episode. And if you are not a recurring listener, please take the time to subscribe to my newsletters while I go and write my newsletters each and every week and send them out between Wednesday and Thursday each of this week. And thank you so much for coming in. I do appreciate taking the time to come in, dropping by, and taking the listen as always. And so in this episode, I wanted to go ahead and talk about Web 3.0. And Web 3.0 is already here, though. Mechanics and the whole decentralization of Web 3.0, which to me, that's something I wanted to talk about and something that's been on my mind. And it's cool what we're seeing with the new stages of the web, which I think it is really good that we are making the transition over to Web 3.0 and getting away from things that are so decentralized nowadays, which is quite an insane thing that we're seeing here, and that with today's world, everything decentralized, and with 20 years of the web I've been using, or more than that, and of course right now too, since my god, I've been using the web for more than that. So it's quite crazy how much that I've been using decentralized components of the web for a very, very long time. So before we begin on today's episode, I want to go ahead and shout out and give a few words of our sponsors. So today I want to give out a shout out to Scooch Case again, as always, and a partner I've been around for about more than 3 weeks. I love my case. The case have served me well after plenty of drops on the grocery store, my own home, the park, you name it. I love the Scooch Case a lot. It has nice ridges and protections on the side, which is absolutely amazing. How the Scooch Case is well designed to protect your phone going everywhere. Scooch Case is something I've always recommend to everyone, including my closest friends and family members, letting them know that if this is a phone case that you're trying to get, Scooch is the one to protect your most recent phone, and it's mostly supported by newer and most modern smartphones as of now, which supports the Samsung Galaxy 20 Ultra or the Galaxy 21 Ultra that's been around for some time, which I think it is a good investment to have, especially when if you just slip out of the phone out of your hands easily. Scooch is the one that does it for you real nicely. I wrote a review back on my blog not too long ago too, and you guys can read out and check it out yourself from my recent blog. I'll have it down on the description down below on the details of the show notes here on this podcast, so you guys can check it out. Don't just take my word for it too. A lot of people have talked about it, and they've loved the cases a lot, and it's just proven already that so many tech magazines, so many businesses just love the accessory, and it is a wonderful accessory to have. So, like I said, Business Insiders reviewed it, CNET, and the rest that have talked about good things about it too, and so have I. Go ahead and check Scooch Case. Next on the list of partnerships and my affiliate, which is Brave Browser. I've been using Brave Browser for about 3 years. I love it, and I've had no problems with it too. Plus, Brave makes you feel brave just using decentralized browser like Brave, and it doesn't feel that you're being tracked up by centralizations such as Firefox and Google altogether, which apparently these two aren't really any better, even though they'll provide speed, but what they don't provide is privacy and security. man, and then again, Brave does both of it, which is super awesome. So what are you waiting for, guys? Check out Brave, and you'll be doing a very much a Brave thing by making the switch. And then lastly and not least, I recommend on Blueberry. Blueberry is something I've talked about in the beginning of the show a lot. Blueberry is a podcasting hosting provider, not just hosting, but you can actually do statistics. And statistics that I've used a lot when using Blueberry in the past, and their customer service is great. I've talked to them before, and they are excellent. And if you are starting a podcast of your own, go ahead and check out the affiliate link down below in the description. And this is where you can start your podcast for 30 days to start. And then when you sign up here, and after the 30 days, that'll be $12.99 a month. So go ahead, check out Blueberry. And then lastly on that is Podbeam. Podbeam has been around on the podcast game since 2006. So, and just like Blueberry, Podbeam just has tons of amazing features on it too. It's a large community of podcasters that you can get together on. I've used it before, and it does a lot of things that it serves. And if you are a big studio, Podbeam provides it things not just for personal use, but if you are a business, let's say a congregation for church, that does a really good job, and it does live audio streams and videos if you're doing big services such as that. So go ahead and check out Podbeam, because these two are really good podcasting choices from here. So let's get on to the show right here about decentralization versus centralization. Well, I have said before about centralization and decentralization. And so to me, in the past, I know that when I've seen and watched the web grow, I noticed one thing about the web is it's always changing, and there's a lot of things on the web. It's so unpredictable that you can't really even keep up with everything anymore. And that's how much things are rapidly changing in the tech world right now too. And it's really, really hard to keep up with anything. And heck, I'm human as well. You cannot even keep up with everything that you see. And especially, there was actually a podcast I've checked out with Kevin Rose, and he has a podcast called Modern Finance. And I have to say, I like the aspects of crypto, because I like the fungibility. I love the how anyone can make money through crypto technology. And I think that is a service, or I say not service, but a technology that's changing a lot of people, especially young people that have not heard of NFT. And NFTs is such a very young and bright and new thing. And that's one of the things I have to say about NFTs is it's very new. I'm starting to learn about NFTs myself. And if you guys don't know about what the heck NFTs is about, and I've talked about this in my past podcast, and in fact, I was talking about NFTs about when Gary V, that was mentioning about telling his followers to follow NFTs, get onto NFTs, you'll make tons of money. And well, you can, but the problem about that is that I never make recommendations to anybody, and unless if I know if it's safe, because thing about it is that NFTs there's not tons of value on NFTs once you put your art or a JPEG on the blockchain, and if people have a demand to buy that NFT, then people are going to go ahead and snag on it. Which, by the way, I will say about NFTs is that I'm kind of different about NFTs. Like, I like the concept of it, but I know that I'm not ever going to get into a hobby on NFTs. And even though for me, it's almost kind of describing like a valuable collection, like Pokemon cards, right? Just as an example, Pokemon cards always has a value and depends on what card you own. Let's say the holographic Charizard. You know that if you found the original Charizard, then that Charizard will hold on a big amount later on, and you're gonna like the fact that you're gonna even have that physical card that you've hold for about what, how long you've hold it for, 20 something years, and then you're gonna be making $100,000 back after you've unopened it from the original pack since the 90s. That's how I almost kind of describe NFTs, but except all of this is digital. So you don't own anything on a physical value, nothing like that too. And that's kind of the weird thing about NFTs is that to me, I'm kind of the person that likes to hold things by hand. It's like comic books. I am still a big comic book fanatic, even though I haven't gotten to the comic book scenes in forever. And that's one thing I've have to say about this whole centralization versus decentralization. And to me, the whole NFTs scene is pretty much based on decentralization. And there's been tons of celebrities, tons of big, well-known people have bought into NFTs but sold it for millions, which to me, that's where I think a lot of people have discovered NFTs. But the thing about it is that NFTs is not really, really known to the public yet. So it is still pretty much fresh on everyone's minds. And like I've said, I've heard about NFTs back in February when someone by, like I said, Gary Vee talked about it. And I've talked plenty of times with NFTs in that previous episode. So you guys can check it out more what I think about NFTs. And I had some harsh criticism about that too. So that right there, go ahead and check it out. But for me, however, that's one thing with new technologies, and especially with the decentralization part of it too. I know that for collectors, a lot of collectors, they love to hold things in their hands, keep a collection to their closets. And that's how I see about by collectors. And that's the thing about NFTs is that the only way you get an NFT is by a certain blockchain, which is a blockchain you have to get through, which is the Ethereum blockchain. And all that is decentralized technology. And one thing not many people are going to know or how they're going to use NFTs, which I'm sure there are tons of material about NFTs now and how people are creating NFTs. And even though there's a lot of people comparing to NFTs, like, well, what's the point of getting an NFT if I can copy it or that same image right to my computer? That's true, but with the NFTs and what's so special about it is pretty much by certification that you've had the original art, and nobody cannot take that original art and paste it into their computers. That's one of the things that makes it so different about NFTs. And plus, if you purchase that NFT, let's say the Cyberpunks, that's something that you can get right now, and it becomes very, very valuable down the road. And it all depends on how the market works with NFTs. And again, I am still reading about it. I'm not 100% a professional on it, but throughout the time with the internet, that's the route that we're going with the internet, is pretty much digital art, digital collections, you name it. Everything's just becoming digital right there and then too. So again, I'm sure there are still going to be physical stuff that's still going to hold valuable, and people are still going to collect things from the 60s, 70s, 80s, all these physical items that people are going to still be interested still enough too. So that's never going to go away, as far as I could understand. So that's been said right there. Now, I do want to get into the topic between decentralization and centralization of technology, which pretty much leads me to a good point about what's happening. And especially with people my age right now, in their 20s and 30s, that are looking at the internet of today. And they've noticed a lot of things that's happening, especially of the world of YouTubes, and people are seeing why we're are sticking in for a different shift of technology. Why a lot of people are getting away from centralized networks, especially centralized video sharing platforms like YouTube. That's an easy question right there, because you always have someone, the main person controlling the content. And at the end of the day, right there, if your content is taken away, I mean, guess what? You cannot control the content. And besides, if you have that content remotely on a big corporation like YouTube, guess what? You have no say on that too. And if you have anything that's pretty much against the guidelines, even though you didn't say anything offensive too, especially I think what's weird about the whole centralization, even though it's not weird, I mean, I've followed on it for some time, but strangely enough, with YouTube's policy, it changes a lot. It really does. And that's what makes it confusing as a creator, is that they don't stay in one place all the time too. And you have to follow the guidelines often enough to, and pretty much you have to know what you're stepping in these eggshells. And if you step on them, and you know, you're going to get in trouble. That's the problem about the world today, with the political correctness of the age of centralization and age of censorship that comes to centralization, even though there are benefits to centralized point-to-point stuff because it is very, very easy to go through, right? However, with centralized websites, you don't have much privacy. And that's what I've been seeing now for the Web 2.0 and many of these companies, especially like I've said, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, they're stuck on the age of centralization and data collecting, that they know that it is profitable, because they know that if they keep this up, they know that's how they're going to make money. Simple as that. And I understand that every company has to make money to do that too. And so that's what I've seen with Web 2.0 and through Web 3.0. So I'm going to get with Web 3.0, which is very bright, very new, in a moment. And still, this is one thing I can't, I have to say though, I've grew up with this landscape a lot, but I know that staying there for a very long time will not do me good for the long run. That's one thing I know. And I figured this out a long time ago, is that you never want to stay comfortable in one place. Because if you do stay comfortable in one place, then you're never, ever going to change. That's the problem with people. They are, gosh, what's the word I'm trying to think here? They stay so consistent in one place that they never adapt. That's pretty much the best way I could put it. Again, there are so many meanings behind it. That with everything now, and you don't know what to expect with people, is that people don't want to adapt. Especially with me, I've learned how to adapt with brand new things and things like that. Like for me, crypto was close to instant when I was in my 20s, and I knew crypto technology was something I've studied on, and I found out that this is not even a fad anymore. This is a trend that's going to stick around for a very, very long time. Crypto technology is pretty much like the brand new money, and you know what's going to be like down the road from here too. And let's say, for instance, like the funny money, like the USDs, the Euros, the Aussies, you name it. What happens if they go down in devaluation? Then you know that these current cryptocurrencies are going to take over. And so that's one of the things that I've noticed with cryptocurrencies that they're changing a lot. And it's Bitcoin was just that one cryptocurrency everybody knew for a couple of years until the new developments of cryptocurrencies like Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum came out on the scenes out of nowhere. And I had to learn about these crypto technologies, which I had no idea, and I had to study on them. That's for sure about these new technologies. And you don't know what to expect. And want to get down on 3.0 because I don't want to take the way too long on the audio. So I figured I wanted to get right to the point with 3.0, which with 3.0 is very, very much secure to a point now we're seeing with 3.0. Even though there are elements with 3.0, it's very new. You got the blockchain technology, and you have a lot of choices when it comes to 3.0. And that's one thing about decentralized technologies is to appreciate what you have right now, because, and like I've said, when you stay on 2.0, you know that everything is pretty much a surveillance state when it comes to Web 2.0. And I think that a lot of these companies, they just don't want to adapt to decentralized websites or have their websites to be decentralized. That's one thing about I've noticed with many of companies is that they just can't do it, or they just want to put the money down onto new blockchain technologies that will keep them safe. And I like about the future what's to come to 3.0 and how it's starting to become a change for the good unless we use it. And the more people start using what was that protocol? Not FTTPS, but it was called IFPS or IPFT or something like that. So I have to put the link down the description below in the show notes. So, but these are brand new protocols that's been around for some time, and I remember it's actually available up on Brave browser, if I remember, and probably a browser like Firefox. It is IFPS, I think. And so that's a new protocol that not everyone has heard about. And the age of decentralization is going to be very, very good for the long run. And plus, I think it's going to be much, much safer to begin with too. But either way, it's a good step to the right direction that we're going through, and that we are going through a step in the new place of Web 3.0. That's something that it must come, because otherwise, if you don't embrace new things, embrace good change, then that's where it becomes very, very bad for you. Staying with the old models of the yesteryears. And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't like to do. They be stuck with the old of the yesteryears. And if you do that for so long, you do never adapt. You will never adapt, and you're going to stay stuck like a fossil. And you think that it's going to be good to stay on Web 2.0. But that's the problem with that, is that you never grow as a person. You never do. And that's why I embrace change easily enough, and you study about what's going to happen. Because if you don't, you're going to be stuck like the rest of the fools from the past. Because everyone wants to stay simple, when in reality, the internet is not as simple as everybody thinks. It's very big, it's very complex, and people lose sight of what the future holds on the internet too. And you gotta realize that there are good changes and bad changes. And whether people believe this or not, this has to get through to people's minds, is that there are times for me that whenever you're looking to a website, especially with the age of 2.0, which people are still hanging on to as well. And I've gave up with the browsers that didn't do me well, and I let go of them. And right now, there are tons of privacy browsers out there, like Brave, for instance, Puma browser, a Waterfox, which is like, which has the Gecko engine of Mozilla's Firefox, but Firefox does a pretty decent job. But again, I'm kind of skeptical because they're still using the old render Gecko Gecko engine from Mozilla's Firefox. So again, there's tons of browsers everywhere. And I think I'm missing one. Oh, Epic browser. And that right there, I've heard good things about Epic browser, totally private. And it is one of the best things that anybody can do for their privacy's sake. So, but with that said, I do want to keep the episode short and sweet as always, because again, I do ramble a lot, so I try not to make it such a bad habit in each and every episode. But getting to the point, I think like what we're going with crypto technology, NFTs, and everywhere else, that's pretty much where we are going through. And in a day and age like this too, to me, I have certain reasons why I still stick in the Windows environment. And the reason I still pretty much get stuck in Windows environment is because most of the major AAA games are supported on Windows. That's the reason why. Now, if I was smart enough to make a partition, like let's say Linux, I would do it. And I will go through and get stuck with Linux for about a week. Then I'll come back using Windows 10 OS. To me, that's something I would love to do, go back and forth, back and forth. And to tell you the truth, the only reason I don't come back to Linux, which actually I used to use Linux all the time, because for one, I didn't have a care in the world or a worry in the world to think about of going back to Windows. But then one day around 2014, when I was working at the time, and with that work, I had to use Linux. I had to go from Linux to Windows because that's what my work required me at the time. So that's that right there too. So really, nothing is perfect, and that's one thing about these two systems. Is like, for instance, Windows does what it does, especially if you're a gamer, if you work in the business world. So you definitely have to have Windows for certain operations that you have to use as a user. And that's kind of my frustration, is that why don't I go with Linux? I always say the same question every time. And every time I try to think about it too. And whenever I'm trying to think about making the switch, and it's a simple question, really. The reason I just don't make a switch, because I'm so used to the Windows environment, and most of the partitions will not work on Linux. And that's the truth, and the matter of fact too. And plus, there are games out there that I can't even play on Linux. And so that's why I have to jump back and forth with these partitions. So that's the reason why I don't get back into Linux. And plus, I forgot to mention is that there's so many distros. It is not just Windows, Red Hat, Ubuntu, or Debian. There are so many distributions, so many of Linux OSs out there, so many choices that you have to find out and decide what's right for you. So that's actually a good third reason to add on to this too, is that that's why I just don't get with Linux, or I have a hard time to jump into the Linux bandwagon, which I love to do, really, really love to do. But unfortunately, there are some stumbling blocks, some things that kind of frets me to go back on the Linux world. And then you have to relearn your steps every single time. So probably that's kind of the part I see that I don't necessarily make the time to create another partition like Linux, for example. And that's why I don't do it, because I just don't want to make the time for it, or either it's just not my priority to jump into Linux at the very moment. So yeah, so there's my reasons. So either way, I just want to make this nice, short, sweet, and simple over on today's podcast on Tuesday. So if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe if you enjoyed this episode. And please, also, last thing I want to mention, I have a newsletter that I'm going to post down on the show notes below. So the newsletters are good in case, if you don't follow me on social media, I'll have the newsletters to update all my listeners what I'm going to be doing, things of that matter, because newsletters are always a good thing to have me subscribed. So, and that's the thing about that, is that you, whenever I'm making content, you'll get all the content going through the emails right there too. So that way you find out what's new, what's in the trends, and what I've done very, very recently. So emails, newsletters is something I'm going to have to update every single week. So be sure to check in your inboxes. If you're going to subscribe to me, please be sure to subscribe and make sure that you have me whitelisted on your email. So make sure you do that as well in case you subscribe. So that said, thank you so much for taking a quick listen to the Leon LeGree podcast, episode 155. I have hoped you enjoyed it. Be sure to put down your reviews on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you listen to me on. I would appreciate all the reviews or anything. That would be super, super nice of you if you put in a good review. But with that said, Leon LeGree signing out. You guys take care. Much love and ciao. Peace.